Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex. And if you've been listening to the last hour, you know that we have a breaking situation here in Austin with the E-4B, the Boeing E-4B. It's a much larger plane than a commercial airline plane. It's been flying in circles around Austin, flying at very low levels in the downtown area. Actually, Alex saw it at below the tops of the buildings level, flying through the buildings like we saw happen in New York a couple of years ago. The question is, what does it all mean? Is it just intimidation? Why are they doing this? It certainly is reckless behavior, and it's been going on for quite some time. We've got footage of it that we're going to be putting up so you can see it. Now, what are you going to do about it? We want to take some of your calls, and we were going to take a lot more of them, but with that breaking news, we didn't get to all of them there. You can see on the video feed right now footage that we captured here at InfoWars of the giant plane flying around. Now, one of the things that you can do tomorrow is go to a protest, Restore the Fourth. It's an organization that is holding protests in over 100 cities across America to demand that the government of the United States adhere to its constitutionally dictated limits. How about that? And respect the Fourth Amendment. You can find out information about that by going to Restore the Fourth. They spell it out, F-O-U-R-T-H, RestoreTheFourth.net. Find out if there's a place to do a protest there. And, you know, you really should get out, because there's been a lot more protests about NSA spying in Hong Kong than there have been in the United States. I don't know of any that I've seen that have been protesting that in violation of the massive violation of our Fourth Amendments. We have a lot of people who have been hanging on the phone to talk to us for quite some time. We've got Jason in California who's been on for over an hour. Jason, what have you got to tell us?
Hi. I wanted to tell everybody about a new idea that I found online to give out information to people. It's called a dead drop. You can look this up online at deaddrops.com. Basically, the idea is you take a memory stick or a hard drive and you implant it somewhere in a public place so people can share information with each other anonymously and offline. I have three ideas that I think we could use to help our little situation out. The first one is to obviously use and expand their current dead drop system that is online. You can check it out. The second would be to make private dead drop systems so local communities and groups can talk to each other without anybody else knowing about it, and they can back up data that's sensitive without anybody else knowing about it. And third was basically talk to local businesses and groups and try to get them to install, like, memory sticks in their businesses or their churches or whatever, that basically tell everybody about the information that they want to share with everyone.
Absolutely.
And I think that could be a very useful tool for everyone out there.
That'd be great. That's a great idea. Thank you. You know, it's kind of like envelopes. Why do we use envelopes? Well, it's because there's sometimes that there's things there that we would like to have private. There's personal financial information we don't want to be made public, or private conversations that we want to have with people. It doesn't mean that we're evil. It doesn't mean that we have anything to hide. The only people who want to hide everything is the government. And, you know, it was Stephen Colbert who pointed out the hypocrisy of that one, pretty famous tweet not too long ago, saying, yeah, if you got nothing to hide, then why are you doing these secret these secret things the government is doing. We got also Jason in Florida. Jason, you still there?
Hey, I want to have a second to respond to Susan. She called in about the police officer shooting that dog.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to send him pictures or love letters or anything. I want to sue the guy, and I want to sue the city.
That's right.
I was thinking, you know, you've heard of a legal defense fund. Why can't we have a liberty defense fund?
Good idea.
In other words, I mean, it would be, you know, you go, let's say you just get a domain name, libertydefensefund.com.
That's a great
totally
idea.
Crowdfunded. Be funded by the listeners. Just send a box and whatever you got.
Great idea, Jason. And you know what? We need to make sure that when people win in these lawsuits, that it doesn't just come out of the taxpayers' pocket. It ought to come out of the police department's budget. That'd be one way to keep them in line. We're going to be right back with Edwin Vieira, so stay tuned. He's going to talk to us about militias.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalists on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics, dehumanization, and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
In emergency preparedness, the day of is too late. The day of a tornado, hurricane, earthquake, or act of terrorism is too late to prepare. But what if today was different? What if you could do something smart and special to save lives the day of? My friends, today is that day. FreezeDryGuy.com is having a 25% off sale on Mountain House cans, the world's finest freeze-dried food. With a 30-year shelf life, it's food you can trust and enjoy when you need it most. And today, it's 25% off only at FreezeDryGuy.com. Since 1970, FreezeDryGuy has been your trusted source for survival and outdoors food. Go to FreezeDryGuy.com today for 25% off food your family needs. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD. Today is what counts. Tomorrow may be too late.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here on this Wednesday, July 3rd, 2013. Now, we were just talking with Alex about the, I guess you could call it the PSYOP operation that's going on here, this military drill where they're flying a giant, larger than a commercial airliner, this giant plane, a Boeing E-4B, through the building skyscrapers downtown Austin, circling around at very, very low, very dangerous levels. And we're also talking about the NSA, of course. That's been a topic for quite some time. We have a new sponsor, PrivateInternetAccess.com. You know, you hear stories every day about the NSA spying on U.S. citizens. This is a way to keep your information private. It will encrypt your internet connection. It'll hide your IP address so you can browse anything anonymously. It offers firewall protection to prevent data mining. And it eliminates records of your computer activity. That's PrivateInternetAccess.com, an American company. So check that out. That's a sponsor of ours that helps us support the operation. Now, we have on the phone with us Dr. Edwin Vieira. Now, he has 4 degrees from Harvard. He has 36 years of practicing law, specializing in constitutional law. He has argued before the Supreme Court, and, of course, he is an author. And his most recent book is The Sword and Sovereignty. It's about the right to keep and bear arms, but he has a little bit different take on it. He focuses more on the militia as opposed to an individual right to keep and bear arms. So we're going to talk to him about that. Very interested to hear his comments on that and also about his participation in an upcoming documentary called Mulan Labe, which is, of course, the Greek for come and take it. It's what the Spartans told the the Persians when they said to disarm, and he's doing that with in conjunction with James Yeager. And I believe, Dr. Vieira, you're one of the associate producers on that. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, super. Now, you know, we hear people talking about the Second Amendment. People have defended it on pragmatic means, talking about, you know, we have a right to collect these things. We like to keep them like we like to keep cars. Or they talk about the fact that they would like to do sporting events, target shooting, hunting with it. Or they talk about the fact that they have a right to protect themselves from burglars or anybody who might attack them. But we realize that there's really a strategic importance for the Second Amendment, and that is to protect us from a tyrannical government. And Dr. Vieira has a different take on that, saying that this is essentially a collective right. Is that correct, Dr. Vieira?
Well, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't put it in exactly those terms.
Right.
I think the collective right versus individual right debate really muddies the waters.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the first 13 words of the Second Amendment, and let's remember that there's nothing in the Constitution that's an irrelevant. There's nothing there that is surplusage, as it were, that it wasn't put in for a particular purpose. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state. And what that tells you is the ultimate goal, actually, of the entire constitutional system, a free state.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a free state can't exist without some significant measure of security. And then the thing that the Constitution describes as necessary to this security and ultimately necessary for this purpose of this free state is a well-regulated militia. Now, that's the only place in which the Constitution describes anything as necessary for any purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say Congress is necessary, it doesn't say the President is necessary, it doesn't say the Supreme Court is necessary. Obviously, the Constitution could have been written in a different manner with different forms of government structures. It doesn't even say the states are necessary. The states are essentially contingent entities that derive from the colonies, which were more or less grants given by the King and Queen of England. There's nothing necessary there in a political, philosophical sense. But a well-regulated militia is necessary. And then if you go to the rest of the Second Amendment, it tells you the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, the right of the people to keep and bear arms is, of course, the essence of a well-regulated militia. That's almost the definition of a well-regulated militia, the people in arms. And, of course, it shall not be infringed, because otherwise you couldn't possibly have a free state.
Right.
So what we're talking about here is a right that is looking to a collective or political purpose, a free state. It obviously has to be exercised by individuals. There is no collective exercise of this right.
Right, right. And I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't. That's right. I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't an individual right. Certainly it is, just like all the Bill of Rights. It was really more of what you're talking about is really how for it to be practically and effective is that people, it needs to be organized. Is that correct?
Well, that's exactly right. If you look at the various reasons that are given by most of the proponents of Americans' right to keep their arms, and you mentioned some of them, target shooting, hunting, self-defense. Well, all of those would be elements of activities that people would engage in for preparing themselves for the militia or through the militia. Obviously, target shooting and hunting prepares you for the use of arms. And self-defense is not only an individual concept, but it's a collective or community concept. But the essence of the problem here is not having that gun in your cellar, having your M16, if you could get one, I guess AR-15, and 1,000 rounds of ammunition in your cellar as an individual. That is not going to enable you to stand up to an organized tyranny.
That's right.
That's obvious, right?
That's right. It's
like
an
organization with other members of the community in some sort of structure that has prepared you through training and a certain amount of discipline and so forth and so on to deal with that kind of a problem.
Exactly. It's what Franklin said when he said we'll either hang together or we'll hang separately. If we are all just a bunch of disjointed individuals, it's not going to be possible for us to exercise our individual right against an organized tyranny.
If your individual right under the Second Amendment really flows into an individual duty to provide yourself as one member of the militia, if you look back historically, and this is the only way you could discover what the words well-regulated militia, or if you go to the original Constitution, the militia of the several states. So it's actually, the concept is actually an original Constitution. The Second Amendment is essentially a re-emphasis of that.
Constitution doesn't define those terms.
Mm-hmm.
For the obvious reason, the Constitution is not a dictionary.
Right.
Most of the terms in the Constitution are not defined. It defines Congress, the House, and the Senate. Those were new bodies that were created. And it defines, for instance, the word treason, because the framers wanted to cut down the old English definition of treason and make it very, very specific. But it doesn't define any of these terms related to the militia. And the reason was because every person in the United States, at least who was an adult, knew perfectly well what a well-regulated militia was. Every adult free American, because of course there were slaves at that time, but every adult free American either was participating in a militia at that point in time, or he had been participating in a militia for a great number of years during his lifetime. And this had gone back into the early 1600s. And if one digs out, as I have done, and put a couple of examples, two colonies, actually, Rhode Island and Virginia, in the sovereignty, if one goes back to these colonial records, one will discover dozens and dozens of militia acts, militia statutes that were passed in the various colonies and then the independent states after 1776. And they're all essentially the same in terms of the structure, the duties, the power, so forth and so on, of these militias. And in fact, if you lay them down on a table and you kind of excise the title so you couldn't see from which state they came, which colony they came, mm-hmm. you'd be rather hard-pressed to tell from which one a particular statute came. And if you look at that structure, you can come up with a definition of a well-regulated militia. And the essence of a well-regulated militia was that the people were going to be armed. In fact, every adult, able-bodied, free man within the colonies or states had an obligation to be armed. Not simply a right. Of course, the right flowed from the obligation, right? You couldn't be obliged to do something if you didn't have a right to do it. But you were obliged to have a gun. Usually your own gun, you had to go out to the free market to purchase, and you were required to keep this where? Not in some arsenal or magazine controlled by public officials, but in your own home.
Very much like what we see in modern-day Switzerland, isn't it?
Well, the Swiss militia structure goes actually way back into the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The English had a militia structure based on what they call the yeomanry, and that basic idea came to America. The beauty of what happened in America was you didn't have the hierarchical social structure of lords and commons. And as a result, from the very beginning, everyone had to be organized in the militia. You didn't have distinctions based on these essentially fictional social classes. So the militia became, from the start, a highly democratic institution in the sense that everyone participated in it. But you were a conscientious objector, and then, of course, that you weren't required to have a firearm. But you could be required to do something else.
I remember we went to England. We went to Warwick Castle, and they had a demonstration there. And the fellow who was doing the archery talked about the yeomanry there. And he talked about how they were required to practice. They were required to be experts at the longbow. And he said they practiced so much that you could even see the differences in their arms. On the one arm that took most of the pressure was, you can go back and look at the skeletons and you can see a difference in that arm because these guys practiced so much with their longbow because that was part of their requirement as a yeomanry.
Right, that was the bowman.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise people were required to keep arms of various kinds, you know, in their home so they could draw on them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept goes back a long way. Now, what we've lost here in this country is the structure. If you look at the breakdown of the system, it really occurred at the end of the 1800s and early 1900s and eventually begins to be codified in what was called the Dick Act in 1903, out of which a series of other acts, 1914, 1916, 1933, comes eventually the National Guard. And a lot of people look at the National Guard and they say, well, the National Guard is the continuation of the militia. And that's simply not true.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all the elements of the National Guard, it's a voluntary organization. The militia were not voluntary organization. Militia is a draft organization. The National Guard people do not acquire their own arms and keep them at home. They're supplied, arms supplied to them by the state government or the federal government. They keep them in some arsenal.
And that's a key point, too. Hang on. We're going to continue this discussion right after the break. We're talking to Dr. Edwin Vieira about the true nature of the militia, the true constitutional nature of the militia. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
there's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Dr. Edwin Vieira about the militia and how he's helping us to understand the importance of the militia and to understand a correct definition of it. Before we get back to Dr. Vieira, we've had a couple of emails come in about this E-4B that has been flying around Austin. One person writes from New Orleans. This is from Amanda. She said, this happened here also in Gretna, about 5 minutes from downtown New Orleans, about 5 months ago. A large, and she emphasizes large, white plane with no windows, that's also the way this is, flying really low in a circle about four times. If it was any closer to the Superdome, it would have hit it. I couldn't get a picture due to this no space on my phone. I looked all over the web to find out if anyone was reporting this. Didn't see anything. She says, I understand your fear, Alex, because I was scared also. We also have a report from Las Vegas. This is from Mark. He says, last October, I had a similar experience to Alex's with a plane downtown in Las Vegas. I'm a cab driver in Las Vegas. I've seen countless thousands of planes come in and out of the airport or overshoot when the runway is too crowded. The plane I saw flew over the airport, but not in a standard flight lane. It flew over the airport, but west of the standard flight lanes over a private air terminal at a very low altitude. Very low, he emphasizes. This one, however, sprayed the ground, with which were presumably chemtrail agents. I don't know the model of the plane. It happened so fast and unexpectedly, but it was a huge white plane. So we'll see if there's any other reports about what's going on here in Austin, but we do have video of that. And Paul Joseph Watson is putting out an article about that right now, comparing pictures of what we took to actual photographs of E-4B, as well as some CNN reports about that. But we were talking to Dr. Edwin Vieira about the constitutional militia and distinctions about that. And as we were finishing up in the as we went to commercial break, Dr. Vieira, you were talking about the difference between the National Guard and the militia. And one of the things that you made a distinction about was the fact that a militia keeps its arms at home, and the tradition of the English yeomanry, also as we see happening in Switzerland, and that doesn't happen with the National Guard.
No, and of course the National Guard can be called out for functions other than the three limited functions that the Constitution assigns to the militia, and when the including being sent overseas, of course, to foreign wars or other kinds of military adventures. And when the National Guard is so-called federalized, it comes under the control of the president and can be brought under the control of the regular armed forces, which, of course, is an impossibility for the militia because the militia and the regular armed forces are entirely separate, independent entities under the Constitution.
And that's something that, excuse me, that's something people can help. It's been out of our, we've lost that tradition. We've lost that understanding here in America for so long. But you can go back and you can look at something like Last of the Mohicans, for example. Even if you don't want to go back to the original history documents, you can see in the recorded history of the Revolutionary War, as well as in novels that were written about that time, you know, just prior to the Revolutionary War, like Last of the Mohicans, you see this tension between the regular army and the militia. The militia acted somewhat independent. They would cooperate with the regular army, but it was still a very separate, independent entity.
Well, they are separate entities. There are actually 50 of them. There's one in each state. They call the militia of the several states in the Constitution.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that distinction still exists in the Constitution. This isn't simply a matter of history or tradition, something lost in the midst of time. This is a constitutional mandate. The difficulty is that Congress essentially flubbed the whole process, giving the benefit of the doubt on this, that what they were doing had some good intentions behind it. They created the National Guard to create a huge reserve force for the regular armed forces, and then they left everyone else in what they call the unorganized militia. So if you look at the militia statute of Congress today, Title 10 of the United States Code, Section 331, it breaks these, what it calls the militia of the United States. And we could stop there. There's no such thing as the militia of the United States. Read the Constitution. Apparently they don't want
right.
But it calls this militia of the United States being composed of two parts. The organized militia, which is the National Guard, and then the unorganized militia, which is everyone else. And if you go to various state statutes, Virginia is an example of this, they break it down the same way. There's the organized militia, which is the National Guard, so-called naval militia, and the Virginia Defense Force, which is a subsidiary of the National Guard authorized by Congress. And then there's everyone else who falls into the unorganized militia. Well, by constitutional hypothesis, there can be no such thing as an unorganized militia. If you look at the history of the colonies, the independent states, and the statute that Congress passed in 1792, the First Militia Act, they organized everyone, literally everyone, unless you were a slave, because, of course, they had slavery in those days. Slaves could be allowed to have firearms.
Hang on right there, Dr. Vieira. We're going to be coming right back, and we're going to talk about why this isn't just an academic argument. We're going to talk about the real-world implications of the militia and whether or not we have one. So stay tuned. We've got a long segment coming up with Dr. Edwin Vieira.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics, dehumanization, and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
We all know the terrible damage that viruses and bacteria can inflict in the human body. Dozens of diseases are caused by infectious organisms, and now the emergence of superbugs that are resistant to antibiotics poses an even bigger threat to our safety. Don't wait for the medical world to discover a new treatment for the latest superbug. It's important to realize that a simple, safe, and effective alternative already exists. Supernatural Silver. Advances in silver technology have given us a silver solution that is effective against these pathogens. Supernatural Silver can help the body fight against the diseases that can endanger your health and well-being. Taken internally or used topically, Supernatural Silver can give your immune system the support it needs. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and give you and your loved ones a fighting chance. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code SUMMER2013 for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I was trained in firearms. I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me. If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're talking to Dr. Edwin Vieira about the real constitutional militia and about his book, The Sword and Sovereignty, that's available on Amazon.com. As one person put it, it's a magnum opus about the constitutional militia. Before we get back to Dr. Vieira, though, I just wanted to mention there is some breaking news about a coup apparently taking place right now in Egypt. The Egyptian Islamicist leader Morsi, who was supported by Obama, appears that the majority of people there are not happy with it. There's massive demonstrations in the streets, as you see right there. Lots of signs we talked about at the beginning of the program. People very upset with him, very upset with Obama. Putting him in power, and they are now, it looks as though there is a military coup that is underway that's being reported by the Christian Science Monitor, as well as the, a newspaper out of New Zealand. So we've got several different newspapers that are reporting this. We have the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi's national security advisor said that a military coup was underway today. So there it is, from the president himself saying that he's getting kicked out by the military. So we want to know how we keep essentially a slow coup from happening in this country, because we're not talking about just the academic issues of correct understanding of the Constitution. You know, we talked about some of the history of that with Dr. Vieira, but Dr. Vieira, talk to us about what's really at stake here if we don't have a constitutional militia, if instead we have an unconstitutional standing army.
Well, the question in my mind, talking to any American patriot, is do you take the Constitution and Declaration of Independence seriously or don't you? These are not hortatory documents. They were written to provide a legal framework for running the government of a free society. And they are very much like the engine, I would say, of a Mercedes-Benz. They're relatively complicated, finely tuned instruments. And if you pull out the piston or you pull out a valve of a Mercedes-Benz, or especially if you pull out the crankshaft, which is absolutely necessary to transmit the power to the drivetrain, the system fails. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, what does it tell you? What does it declare to you is necessary to maintain a free state? This could not be more obvious. 13 words. You don't have to read my book. You don't have to go on the internet and read all sorts of blogs. 13 words in the Constitution. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, period. You could stop right there.
That's right.
Do we have such a well-regulated militia in any state in this country? No.
No.
And that is the result of what I would consider at least to be stupidity, if not treachery, on the part of the people in Washington, D.C., and a lot of state capitals, although those people in the state capitals pretty much went along with what Congress simply laid out for them. And as a result of that, as a result of not having a well-regulated militia, which could perform all sorts of functions, conducting honest elections, providing alternative currencies, supervising public officials, I could go down a list, and in fact, I do go down a list in the Sword and Sovereignty and flesh this all out. As a result of not having these institutions in the 50 states, we now see the development of a national paramilitary police state that makes something like the Stasi look like a kindergarten.
That's right. And we see continual foreign wars, too. That's another
problem as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
A perpetual war for perpetual peace, as the old phrase had it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we see that. And
it's no coincidence.
Back to the point that, as the Constitution says, what is necessary for the security of a free state is a well-regulated militia. The militia are composed of the people. The people are the ones who ordained and established the Constitution. The people, the so-called good people, as the Declaration of Independence describes them, were the ones who gave the authority for the independence of the original 13 colonies, and thus today of the United States as a whole. This is the embodiment of the people's power, the militia.
That's right.
As Mao Zedong would say, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun, and the Constitution tells us exactly the same thing. But it's not political power in the raw sense. It's political power in the sense of directed towards a free society.
That's right.
So you take that principle, whoever controls the gun controls political power. The Constitution tells you political power should be in the hands of the people, and therefore the people should control the guns through the militia. Do we have the militia? No. Ergo, we don't have the people in control, and therefore we don't have a free state. It's really very simple. So if you're an American patriot, and you're sitting back about asking the question the Ford Motor Company used to ask, what is job one? Job one is the revitalization of these institutions that the Constitution tells us are necessary.
So how do you suggest we do that? Because you make a distinction between the private militia and the constitutionally regulated militia.
Well, of course, there's no such thing as a private militia constitution. All mm-hmm. right? The militia were all governmental entities. Why? Because we're talking about popular sovereignty and popular self-government, ultimately.
Right.
These aren't institutions that are outside of government. These are institutions that are within the government and control the government. And this has to be done state by state, because you can forget Congress. That's a wasteland. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote an earlier book, also on Amazon, called Constitutional Homeland Security, which goes into this practical political question of exactly how do you need to organize people at the local level, grassroots level, in order to bring influence, shall we call it, on state legislatures to pass the appropriate kind of statute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this could be done in some states, certainly, maybe not Massachusetts or Connecticut or New York, California, whatever, the wasteland.
Right.
But in some states in this country, it could be done. And my view would be, my in one or two states, it would catch on very, very quickly because people would now realize, hey, there is something we can actually do here. There is a way we can regain control, at least of our state governments. And I'm looking at a situation I tell people all the time. How many people recognize the fragility of the banking and monetary system of this country and are predicting a catastrophic collapse? And not just of this country, but perhaps banks throughout the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, what kind of social dislocations, economic problems, civil unrest, and civil disobedience will occur? Well, you can imagine that, right?
That's right.
Comes out of one of these disaster movies.
It's going to be massive.
Out of Hollywood.
That's right.
And we do not have prepared in this country at the local and state level anything that is capable of dealing with that problem, let alone fending it off to begin with. We're going to depend upon institutions like FEMA, which demonstrated their incompetence in Katrina, in Hurricane Sandy, again and again and again. That's what Congress has given us, this top-down, pyramidal structure, the all-seeing eye at the apex, right, which is utterly incompetent to deal with the kinds of problems we're facing.
Well, we got FEMA. We just had the story break yesterday on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson found a document where they were celebrating the fact that they were going to be using Russians to provide protection security at mass events in the United States. So that's the kind of mindset of FEMA. We certainly don't want to rely on FEMA for protection when things collapse economically. And we have seen in some states, like in Utah and others, there's been some effort to try to do something to about gold, you know, because they're concerned about a financial collapse. But we haven't seen anything done in any of the states that I'm aware of in terms of moving towards a constitutional state militia.
No, they're terrified of the M word, the Southern Poverty Law Center.
That's right. They've demonized that.
They frightened them about this.
And we're not talking about, you know, a private militia, because as you mentioned in your discussions, you know, the private militia, you've got Joe Bob and his friends over here, and you've got Billy Bob and his friends over there. Who's really in control here? There's not really any clear lines of authority. That's why it needs to be under a state government.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And the point I make to many people is the breakdown of the monetary and banking system could occur tomorrow morning. I mean, there's essentially no way that we can predict exactly when that will happen. And once that happens, things will get out of control very quickly. So step one should be the revitalization of the militia and the sovereign sovereignty. I gave a very detailed description of how once that is done, the militia could be used to start introducing alternative sound currencies into various states in anticipation of this breakdown of the fiat money system.
That's right.
Right? So one thing follows from the other, but first you have to have the insurance policy of the militia in place. You have to have people organized, understanding what their legal authority is, understanding what their responsibility is politically in terms of self-government.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done by, and we don't need to mobilize the full population of this country. I would think that if you started off with 5 or 10% of the adult male population, you'd have more than enough to perform all of the functions, at least initially, that would be required of a modern militia. So it's not as if one would have to derange the entire social structure to resurrect these institutions. It could be done on what would essentially be a voluntary basis initially, because I think 5% of the population would probably be willing to come out, sufficiently patriotic to be willing to come out and perform these functions initially. And then once that happens, other people, through peer pressure alone, will look at the necessity, practically speaking, of social standing and so forth, to participate. And then the thing has a life of its own, and it will spread and develop to something I would think that looks a lot like modern Switzerland.
Right, right. And along the lines of Switzerland, think about the fact we mentioned that one of the failings that happens to a state, one of the ways that a state fails is with constant foreign wars. Switzerland has always had a citizen militia there. And as a result, Switzerland is famous for not being involved in foreign wars. They're famous for their neutrality, because if you have a militia, you don't get involved in foreign wars.
Particularly given that in World War I and World War II, they were right in the center of the conflict.
That's right. They wrote it out, and nobody attacked them. Hitler was not about to attack Switzerland. They were too well defended, too well fortified, so they would go all around them, but not into Switzerland.
That's exactly right. Now, obviously, the United States is not quite in the same position as Switzerland, but removing our involvement in one of these foreign adventures after another would be step one in returning us to a proper republic in this country, as opposed to something
That's right. That's right.
So all these things play out together, and especially we don't want a situation to occur where there is an economic or some other kind of catastrophic situation crisis that develops. And because of the inability of the clowns in FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, the armed forces have to step in with some kind of martial law declaration because they're the only ones capable of restoring order. We don't want that for a number of reasons. First, I think because the Constitution precludes that. Obviously, we can't have the armed forces setting themselves up above the Constitution. The armed forces are really incompetent to perform most of these domestic functions. But number three, historically, one learns that once the armed forces step in a situation of that kind, they never really step out again.
That's right. That's right. That's the entry point.
That's right. And so you always have the possibility, even though they may be behind the scenes and it's some kind of civilian government that they put up front, that there's going to be another putsch or there's going to be another coup or another golpe, as they say in the banana republics of South America, because they always recognize, well, we had to do this once. We may have to do it again. And then, of course, there are always people that will arise in any armed forces who have personal agendas.
Yeah, liberties,
to advance themselves.
Liberties lost are never easily regained, and people chomping at the bit to establish a police state. I mean, just look at the reaction to the Boston bombing, for example. The entire city on lockdown to try to find one 19-year-old, dragging people out of their homes at gunpoint. It's absolutely insane reactions to that. And we see this whenever there's a natural disaster. We see the difference in the way FEMA reacts. And my son did a video on this, won a contest. And looking at the difference between disaster that was localized, we had a tornado come in and wipe out a small town, but it was not widespread enough that the federal government and FEMA did not get involved. And so what you had there was you had a cooperation between private sources who were bringing in food, dropping them at churches, they were distributing it. You had the police there keeping people away from down power lines, and everything recovered very well. Versus when you had a major hurricane that hit a large area, FEMA got involved. And all of a sudden, nobody could get food. They couldn't get relief because FEMA became this giant bottleneck. They're going around shoving people around, you know, just raw display of power.
That's exactly right. And, of course, if a militia structure was set up in any particular state, there would be no, how shall I put it, existential need for FEMA. Right? People said, so we don't need you. We're capable of doing all of this.
Exactly.
Above and beyond anything that you could supply. The thing that worries me, though, you talk about what happened in Boston Watertown with the deployment of, what,
right.
9,000 commandants out there, 9,000 of these Gestapo types. You didn't see any of those people whose homes were invaded simply saying no.
Right.
I'm not talking about physically resisting, but simply saying no. When one of these armed thugs comes to the house and says, well, we're going to come in and look at it. No, you're not. You have a warrant?
Right.
No, you're not. End of discussion. Now, they still may have been arrested and dragged out of their homes, as many of them were, with their hands up in the air as if they were prisoners of war.
Right.
But it was just interesting to me that in the cradle of liberty, Boston, Massachusetts, people have gone so far down the road of accepting Gestapo-like tyranny that they simply say nothing.
That's right. You know, we had Charlotte Iserby yesterday that we interviewed on the Nightly News. She was talking about the issue of education. And she had a quote from C.S. Lewis, and he said, when education loses out to training, it's the end of civilization. What we have happening with the media, with the government, is really training. You know, you're trying to educate people about what's really in the Constitution. We're trying to educate them about what's going on and what's in the Constitution. But the mainstream media, as well as the government, is involved in a training exercise. Just like we see this giant plane flying between the skyscrapers here in Austin. It's all part of training.
And it's training at a very low level. It's dog training.
Yes, yes.
It's stimulus response.
Yeah, like the TSA.
It's a Pavlovian technique that when you get a certain signal from your master, you respond in a certain way without thinking about it.
Absolutely. Look at the TSA. It's a perfect example of Skinnerian positive operant conditioning, you know, where they come in and it's like, you let me put my hands on you and you can fly. You know, that's your reward, your immediate reward. It's kind of what you would do if you were a horse whisperer or a dog whisperer. I guess these are travel whisperers, right? They're training as like some brute animals, and that's basically what B.F. Skinner was talking about doing.
That's right. And the non-animal says, as I do, I don't fly.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, the airlines can go bankrupt.
Yes.
And maybe they should.
Yes.
Because they're playing along with this in the same way that many of these internet service providers and Skype and so forth, so on, we discover, are playing along with the NSA
mm-hmm.
in turning over electronic communications.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what amazes me, that the attitude of people, that they are willing to accept all of this basically nonsensical police state activity, because they've never proven that any of this police state activity really has a beneficial effect.
Oh, they've proven that
they've
proven that it is ineffective as far as safety goes. You know, they've had the Florida congressman who was instrumental in putting it in actually saw the results, wanted to make it public, but they wouldn't let him because it was too damning. We'll be right back with one final segment here with Dr. Edwin Vieira, so stay tuned.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there'll really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until July 10th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here on this Wednesday, July 3rd, 2013. And we're going to be going right back to Dr. Edwin Vieira, but we have a clip here from CNN talking about the plane that we saw earlier today, a Boeing E-4B, the Doomsday plane. Here's that clip. Oh, Okay, this is a clip.
9/11. A mysterious plane was seen flying right over the president's residence. Even some CNN staffers saw it. To this day, it has never been officially explained.
The details are classified. This comparison of the CNN video and an official Air Force photo suggests the mystery plane is among the military's most sensitive aircraft, an Air Force E-4B.
The average military person isn't involved. Even the average FBI person isn't involved. They'll just be told, oh, it was some drill. And it gets you used to just having a giant secret shadow government aircraft almost run into buildings.
There you go. That's a picture of an E-4B, and that's what we had right here in Austin. You can see the pictures that our crew took of that. And it really comes back down to what we were just talking about in the last segment, and that is training. Training versus education. And we've got a perfect example of that today. We've got the U.S. government trying to train us to be afraid of everything, to run to them for their promised safety. But we also are trying to educate people with Dr. Edwin Vieira talking about what a constitutional militia is, trying to educate people about our real protection against tyranny. Dr. Vieira, thank you for joining us. And we've got one last segment here. I'd like for you to kind of summarize for people why this is important and what, if anything, they can do to try to make this happen. Of course, it has to happen at the state legislative area, but talk about that. Just one last segment, whatever you want to do to wrap this up here.
Well, it's important because if people want to live in the free state for which the Constitution and Declaration of Independence were written, they have to follow essentially the instructions that are given in the manual.
Mm-hmm.
Well-regulated militia be necessary to secure the free state. And we see the results of not following those instructions with the development of this national paramilitary police state, which no one can deny is there and is growing every day in its intrusiveness and power.
Very rapidly, yes.
Right, very rapidly. So if you want to stop that, or at least put a brake on it to a certain extent, then we have to follow the Constitution's own instructions, revitalize the militia of the several states are state institutions constitutionally. That has to be done state by state. It has to be done by the people themselves, starting at the grassroots, because they can't expect the state legislatures won't necessarily pick up on their own. And as I said earlier, I've written a book called Constitutional Homeland Security. It's on Amazon. That describes the practical approach to this problem, or at least the suggestion that I have. And then the larger book, The Sword and Sovereignty, which goes into excruciating detail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it essentially is undeniable, the results, because it derives from history that no one can question. And it's all there, footnoted with endnotes and so forth and so on, for those people who really want to get into that in detail.
And it's very important because, as you mentioned before, you know, the federal government is really a lost cause. Everybody wants to focus on changing the president, you know, from this Republican to this Democrat or vice versa. We're changing the Congress. It is so hopelessly corrupted. The only chance that we have, and it is still an uphill chance, is at the state levels. We've had a situation right here in Texas where a couple of years ago we had a bill introduced to stop the TSA conditioning us to be slaves so that they put their hands on us and molesting people. And they were basically intimidated by the federal government into backing down, saying that they were not going to let planes fly. And the same federal government that's flying planes between buildings today here in Austin. So there's a lot to be done there. People need to get involved. As Alex says all the time, you are the resistance. And we're going to have some overdrive coming up here with Alex. We're going to be talking about this plane issue here. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Vieira. And that book is The Sword and the Sovereignty on Amazon.com. Stay tuned. We're going to have overdrive with Alex.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Introducing Pro One, all of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine. Hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.